Well, we're going to be drawn back to God's Word now, and we're drawn back to the book of Deuteronomy. We studied earlier in the year, the book of Deuteronomy, up until early June, and we're now going to seek to move forward with our studies in Deuteronomy, and we're in Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning. If you want to turn to the passage, that's page 187 in the Church Bible. You should have a sheet if you want to follow the message this morning, and if you want to write notes as well, each of you should have had a sheet as you came in this morning. So Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so what day is it today? It's October the 1st, which means 9 months of 2017 have gone, 3 months are left. Perhaps a time to take an assessment, a time to review your life. How has it been so far in 2017 for you? How has life been for you? Have you really lived? Has it been a life that you've known in 2017 of progress and future? How are you looking forward? What do you want? Perhaps it hasn't been a great 2017. Perhaps you've had struggles. What about the rest of the year? What about looking forward to the final 3 months of the year? Well, that's what we want to think about this morning, is what it is to really live. Okay? What it is to really live life. What is life all about? And it's for all of us, for the youngest to the oldest. I trust you're interested. I trust that you want to live. You want to make something of your life. You don't want to just pass through this life meaninglessly. You want to have some purpose. You want to have some direction. Yeah? So you may well think, though, why is he read from Deuteronomy chapter 8? What's all that going to mean for me? Well, let's start to unfold what's happening, where we're at, as we're coming into the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to come to Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning. Deuteronomy, we're going back about 1400 years before our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. And the nation of Israel, they've been brought out of Egypt. And through not obeying God, they've had 40 years wandering around in a desert. And the past generation has died off, and a new generation has been born. And now they're on the verge of moving into the land, that special place that God has for them. And Moses, their leader, he is preparing them. He's preparing them for this new life. And he's giving them all the information, all the teaching that they will need. And as we've been looking at this teaching already previously, we're thinking that it's based around the Ten Commandments. And in this portion where we are at the moment in Deuteronomy and chapter 8, it's the first commandment that we're still concentrating on. The focus is that you shall have no other gods before me. As you go and live, you shall have no other gods before me. Okay? So that's what he's presenting to them as they're going into this new place to live. They're not there yet. They've got to cross over the Jordan, but he's preparing them for when they do. So you still may be thinking, well, what's that got to do with us? Business of going into some land. We're not going to go to, well, we're not all called to go to France tomorrow and go over the English Channel. What's it all about? Well, I'll put it to you. There's a very critical parallel for us. And that is, when we become Christians, are called into a new life. We're called to go into a new land. We're called to have new experiences. We're called to be in Christ. So if you think about that land, it's like us living in Christ. It's that what God has called us into in this new life. And so there are big parallels concerning how the nation of Israel were called to live in this new land and how we are called to live in our new life. And it's those parallels that we want to dwell upon with this call upon us to live life. How are we going to live life? Title of our message this morning is Remember the Lord and Live. Remember the Lord and Live. Okay? Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, you're not with it at all. Because you've got no Lord to remember yet. You need to remember the Lord and live. So if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to know that Lord. Okay? You need to know that Lord through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That Christ Jesus came, as we've been thinking this morning, to rescue us from our sins. And when we believe in Him, then we can go into this new land. But for those who are as Christians, we want to be thinking about how we so easily forget the Lord. And we stop making progress for Him. We need to be thinking about how we need to remember the Lord so that we can move into this new place, into this new vital realm and make progress for our God. So let's come to our passage this morning then. And first of all, this morning we're going to think about the first 10 verses. The first 10 verses, and it's about remember. Remember. The first 10 verses, are going to read them to us now. So let's take heed as we once again read God's word together. From Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. Here's the word of the Lord. Moses instructing the people. He says to them, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His command. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in His ways, and reverence Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you." So the people are called to remember. Called to remember the Lord. Okay? So let's look at this passage. First of all then, in verse 1, we see a basic motto for life. Okay, if you're thinking of moving ahead, this is a motto for life, a statement about how to live. Okay? What is this about? Be careful. Okay? Don't be casual about God's word. And follow, take heed to God's commands. Okay? That God has given to them through Moses. They've been provided for them through Moses. Yeah? And as a result, they will do what? What does it say? They're going to live. We're talking about life. They're going to live. If they take heed to the word, follow the commands, they will live. And they will increase and enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your father. Yeah? They're going to be flowing with God's plan. God's plan stated all those years ago to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob was that the nation would have a land. A special land for them. And if they're doing these things, they're going to flow into it. And they're going to have people to occupy that land. And they're going to live. They're going to live. Okay. And so it's the same for us today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be careful about the word of God. Obey the word of God and you will live. And you will flow with God's plan. And that is life. Okay? That is life. That is the life that's worth living. That is the in Christ life. That is the life of the Spirit. That is the life that God wants for us. That's a motto for you. That is a motto going into the rest of 2017. Here's a motto. Go and live out Christ according to these commands. So with that motto in mind, Moses goes back to the past in verses 2-5. So they're on the verge of the promised land. They come out of this desert area, this wilderness area, and Moses says to them, he goes back to the past. Remember the past. Remember how the Lord your God led you. And verse 2 here. Think about it. Think about it. You know, fellow Christians, one of our problems is we forget. We forget God's goodness. And what Moses is doing here, don't forget God's goodness. See what happens. Don't forget how God worked. So remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. You're a Christian this morning? When did you become a Christian? However long it is, you're only still a Christian this morning because of God's goodness. Because God has led you through the desert and kept you. Yeah. So the Lord was working for them. The Lord was active. He wanted to humble them and to test them in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. See, the vital thing was keeping his command, so he humbled them, so they wouldn't trust in themselves. He wanted to know what there was in their hearts, that they were not selfish, they were not pursuing things for their own ends. He wanted to know that they were for him. And so he was working. So they look back, and now they're on the verge of the promised land, and they look back about how God had brought things into their lives, difficulties into their lives, struggles into their lives, that they might be humbled. That they might trust him. That they might obey those commands. Okay, something happening in your life this morning. Something happening in your life this morning. Or you can look back. You can look back to the struggles. You've had health difficulties. You've had money difficulties. You've had relationship difficulties. And you've been at your wit's end. And you know God has brought you through. And you remember him. And he's done it. He's done it. And in the struggles of life, even at the moment, be thoughtful about how God is working to humble you. Yeah, so that you wouldn't depend upon yourself. And so we see particularly then, this focuses in verse 3, upon their hunger. Verse 3, he humbled you and caused you to hunger. So God was working in their circumstances. God was working in their situation. He made them hungry. He made them desperate for food. And he then fed them with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known. Okay? Now just start to think about this. If you go into a restaurant, and your favorite food is on the menu, and you think, I'm having that. That's what I want. Yeah? Well, that wasn't like that for the nation of Israel here. Okay? This food that they were offered, they hadn't a clue what it was. They just didn't know what it was, you know? They got no familiar. It just says they'd never known anything about this. But this was God's supply for them. He said it was for the best for them. It wasn't their idea saying, well, we think this is decent food. It was God's idea. I'll read from Exodus in chapter 16 where this whole issue is found. There's no need back to turn to it, but you can hear God's word from Exodus chapter 16. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. You see, it's about what God is responding to God's supply, depending upon him. That's a key issue here. Later in Exodus 16, we read these words. Verse 15, we read these words. When the Israelites saw it, that's this food, they said to each other, what is it? What is it? That's why it's called manna. Because that's what the term, what is it, means. For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person and have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered very much, some little. So you see what's happening here is they're saying they're believing God. God supplied it. We don't know what it is. We've never seen it before. We don't even know what is going to happen to our bodies as a result of eating it. But what are they depending upon? The Word of God. It's simply the Word of God. In eating that food, they're depending upon the Word of God. And so what does it say at the end of verse 3? What is the lesson at the end of verse 3? It says the lesson is that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, their God, isn't it? Yeah? That's the basic issue. Yeah. And it's interesting when some of you will be familiar with the fact that the Lord Jesus used this word when he was tempted by Satan. And after the 40 days of suffering. So there's a parallel here. 40 years of suffering for the nation of Israel. 40 days of suffering for the Lord Jesus. And the tempter comes, this evil one comes to the Lord Jesus and says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Okay? So it's interesting there, you see, it's the whole issue. The Lord Jesus showed his dependence upon God by saying, "I'm not going to make that into food for myself. I'm going to show my dependence upon by not eating." The Israelites showed their dependence by eating. You see, the whole issue is the dependence upon God. God's supply, God's way, God's purpose is shown in his word. Yeah? So we show our dependence upon God that we really want to live by our attitude to God's word. Okay? If you want to exist in life, what percentage of the population in the United Kingdom at the moment are existing? Pretty substantial proportion. Because you will exist if you ignore God's word. You'll exist. I mean, you'll have stuff going around your body, but you won't live. Because you only live by what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes from the mouth of our God, which is this book. So we need to read it. We need to study it. We need to live by it. We need to enjoy it. We need to share it. We need to talk to one another about it. We need to do whatever scheme. We do the Feltham Journey in the church. Do that. It's a way of reading through the scriptures over 2 years. It's all good stuff. Whatever you do, get it into your life. Get it into this church. And you will live. So remember the Lord. You'll remember the Lord as you realize what he's done in your life. As you realize this word has come. And so God is come. God is a living God, by the way. And notice the people here had to take an act of faith because they'd been going on for a while and this new stuff had arrived and they say, "We don't know what this is. We don't know what it's going to mean, but we're going to take it." And that happens in our lives sometimes. And praise God. I say this to you this morning. Praise God. Feltham Evangelical Church, I don't think has ever known us having an evangelist amongst us. But praise God, we've recognized Mark Henderson as an evangelist. And by faith, we come before the word of God and realize that supply. And we trust that that will be great in the Lord's purposes. But all of us should be thoughtful about God perhaps has got something new for you. And you're uncomfortable. But maybe God is just taking you into something fresh and you've got to believe it. You've got to receive it. So the whole issue here is God is supplying for them something that they're not aware of and they're just believing him. And they know it's good. And it was special and it preserved them and it provided for them. And what does it say in verse 4? Not only did he give them the bread, what does it say, verse 4? It says he gave them, he got clothing and their footwear never wore out. And God was providing for them. Look back, fellow Christian, this morning. If you want to know that God is going to be for you in the future as you trust him, look back to the past. Look back to those difficult times. Some of you have been believers longer than me, and some of you shorter, but look back to the past. Has God provided for you? Has God kept you? Well, remember it. And remember that verse 5, that why God is working, He is working for our good. As a father, as a good father works for the benefit of his children, so the greatest of fathers in heaven works in order that we would be benefited. Verse 5, know then in your heart. Get it into your heart. How's your heart this morning? Is your heart with the desire for God? Know then in your heart that a man disciplines his son. So the Lord, that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Those workings are because he cares for you. It's all because you cared for you that you've got those difficulties. And you can remember how he's cared for you. So remember that as you're going on to this new life, living for Christ. Remember the past. Remember it. And so, as we move then into verses 6 to 10, we're going to think about the future. As we're looking to the future, as we're looking to this new life, we're aware of the past, aware of the future, we want to be living. So what does it say? We've got a statement in verse 6 is going to encourage us how to live. Observe the commands of the Lord. Notice we're back in similar territory to verse 1, walking in his ways and revering him. Got an addition there. What's the addition? End of verse 6, revering him. What is it, when you revere somebody, you respect them, you hold them in high esteem, you think well of them, you're not casual in your relationship with them. Reverence. You need reverence. So we move on. If you're going to live, you need reverence for God. Don't forget that. And so let's see how things are then as we're looking to the future. And look what a future it is. Just read it. Read it. Verses 7 to 9 there. Just read the future. And you just see all of these things. There's just going to be a beautiful supply. There's just going to be in this land. It's a good land. A land with streams and pools, springs flowing in the valleys and hills. And you can just envisage already beautiful scenery, a beautiful supply, and beautiful food, and much of it. And then there's going to be, with all those things there, the barley, the fig trees, and then at the end you've got these beautiful, you've got the abundant minerals. Abundance and beauty. Fellow Christians, Satan says to us so very often, you're missing out. The world's better. And God says to us this morning, no, 1,000 times no. The best life is the Christ life. The best life is in Jesus. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1 these words, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. This is the life. It's a bountiful life. It's a full life. It's a life with purpose. It's a life with meaning. You work with work colleagues and you know so many of the lives are just empty, meaningless, filled with pleasure seeking which doesn't fulfill. And you've got Christ. And we've got this abundant life, this beautiful life. And God's call is to go into it. Verse 10 then, how do you respond? How do you respond to God's goodness? His beautiful. So how should we respond to God's goodness? How should you respond to the beautiful experiences of life? How should we respond when we see great things happen? Verse 10. When you have eaten, so he's looking to the future as they're moving on. You in Felton Evangelical Church, you're looking on. Tomorrow you can see some blessings in your life. Today, when you have eaten and are satisfied. Well, just say, well, that was all very nice. What does it say? What does it say? It says, praise the Lord, your God, for the good land he has given you. Can I just ask you about giving thanks for food? I wonder whether it's slipped with us Christians nowadays. Give thanks for food. But what does it say here? We tend to have a practice of giving thanks before the meal, don't we? And that's great. But according to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10, when should you be giving thanks for the meal? Afterwards. When you've received. Just worth thinking about. Look to the future. And when you're blessed, what do you do? What do you do when you're blessed? What's your first reaction for every blessing you get from God, from the biggest blessing to the smallest blessing? What's your first reaction? Praise the Lord. It's all from Him. Every little mercy is from Him. You got to work safely. One day, it's a mercy from Him. Praise Him. Seek it out. Philip, I talk to myself, seek it out. Opportunities to praise Him. They're pretty easy to find. From the smallest to the greatest. So you see here, remember, call to remember. I want to go into verses 11 to 17, and now it says, don't forget. So I'll just throw this in now with regard to Deuteronomy. It's almost as if he's saying, I'm going to remind you so that you remember and don't forget. And I'm going to say it again so that you don't forget what I've reminded you to remember, so you don't forget that. It's as if he's saying, I know you so easily forget. And I just want you to remember, it's a basic lesson for us fellow Christians, but we go on hurtling into life so very often and we just don't remember. We just don't stop and remember. Let's go into the second section then, and we're going into the section from verses 11 to 17, so let's read that portion of scripture. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert and thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this for me. So the second section then this morning is verses 11 to 17. Verse 11 is a similar frame to what we had in the first section. Verse 11 is a basic motto for life again. A motto for life, verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws and His decrees that I am giving you today. Be careful again. Same as verse 1, be careful, think about it, be on your guard, make sure you take action on this, that you don't forget the Lord and forget His commands. Basic connection, if you forget the commands of God, you're forgetting the Lord, okay? If you're ignoring the commands of God and say, I'm a great Lord follower, I'm a great Christ follower, nonsense! You show you're a Christ follower by obeying the word of Christ. Okay, so that's your motto. There's a motto there, a life principle there. Okay, verse 12 goes to the future. Future. If you forget the Lord, things are going to go wrong in the future. Okay? Verse 12 then. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied. So here we have the people in verse 12. You see, they got all these blessings. All these rich blessings. Okay? And they've done it, and they've been involved in doing it. Okay, they've been, so what's happening, you know, see how it flows here, verse 12, you eat and are satisfied, you're building fine houses, you're settling down, your herds and your flocks are growing, your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, okay, what do you have here, big houses, big bank balances, big tummies, big possessions, big inventories, and they've done it themselves. You might say, "We did it." You know? And so, what happens? Catastrophic, isn't it? As you come into verse 14, and then your heart becomes proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. Yeah. One of the biggest dangers in our spiritual lives is our blessings. One of the biggest dangers in our spiritual lives is our blessings. Because we as warped sinners take them the wrong way and said, I've done it. You come proud. It's catastrophic. And we lose our way. And we stop living. And so he goes back to the past now. Don't forget. He's saying, don't forget. This is your God. Don't forget him. You've seen all this goodness and you've forgotten him. But he's saying you shouldn't. You should remember. So verses 14 to 17 will take us back. The latter part of verse 14 to 17, he's taking them back. Who is this God? Don't forget him. He brought you out of Egypt. Out of the land of slavery. Christian this morning, don't forget you are converted. You've been brought out of Egypt. You have become a Christian. You've come to the cross. You've come to salvation. You've come to Jesus Christ. Don't forget Jesus Christ. Don't forget the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. Don't forget the cross. Don't forget the fact that blood was shed that you might be free. Satan says, well, it wasn't so bad before you were a Christian. God says you were in slavery. You were bound in sin. It was hopeless. The non-Christian is in a terrible state. And God has brought you out. And God has looked after you. He's led you through the vast, dreadful desert. And so God has brought us to Christ. And we've fully, it's a wonderful salvation. And now in living as God's people, he's looked after them in that dreadful desert where they were thirsty and there was water. It was a thirsty and waterless land. There were all kinds of dangerous things around. And he brought them water. Don't forget it. And so what we're doing now, we're going back to God's goodness to us and say, don't forget it. Don't forget it. Get your mind thinking about how God has answered your prayer, how God has provided for you, how God has been good to you. And then not to forget it. Verse 16 again, that's the manna, gave you manna to eat. It's reminding them again, it's the same as verse 3. That's what God did for you. That's what God was so kindly did for you, and it was all sufficient for you. And he gave them so he might humble them and test them, in the end that it might go well with them. You see, when God is humbling us and testing us, what's he doing? He's taking us away from trusting in ourselves. The worst thing we can do, fellow Christians, the worst thing we can do is trust in ourselves. And God in his kindness humbles us and tests us. We don't trust in ourselves and we trust in him. But what happens when they forget all that? What happens in verse 17? Here's where it all goes wrong, isn't it? They've forgotten all that past and they've forgotten all of God's goodness. And these verse 17, these terrible words which so easily can come into ourselves. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. There's a lot of me there, isn't there? There's a lot of me there. I'm a self-made man. Don't talk to me about God. I did it myself. As Mr. Sinatra would have said all those years ago, I did it my way. It's catastrophic. It's the end of living. It's the beginning of existing when we just forget God and just attribute it all to ourselves. So the blessing comes, you forget God, you look to yourself. It's catastrophic. So let's be warned. Let's keep remembering the goodness of God. And when we're remembering the goodness of God, when the blessings come, what will we do? We will, verse 10, praise the Lord. And we will live. Just say this, you get anything this morning, just go out and praise the Lord for anything that comes into your life. But then, it says, it's this thing again, in case you forget, I'm going to remind you again, I'm going to remind you to remember. So verse 18 says, remember. How does it start, verse 18? It says, but remember. This is what you should do. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Stop. Think. It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. I told us, the children's talk, I said we should be working. But when we're working, any work we do, we remember, it's only God who gives me the ability to do this. Okay? If we have any power to do anything, if we have any gifts, if we have anything in our lives, where did it come from? If you can get up in the morning, how are you able to get up in the morning? You only received every gift from God. Every ability is given from God. You're not just a clever, self-made person. If you've got any ability, you're a God-made person. Yeah? So remember, this is what you should be remembering. Remember that God, it's He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers, as it is this day. And so you're flowing with God's purposes. You're a part of it being confirmed. That God has promised all those years ago to bring a land. And you, when you're realizing that you're God, when you're realizing that it's God who does everything, you're living life and you're a part of God's plan and you're a part of God's purpose. And that's what the same is for us today. Okay? The new covenant blessings that we celebrate are all the promises that we have in Christ Jesus. And when we're relying upon God and His Spirit and pushing back into Christ, then we're living. When we're self-dependent, then we're just existing, and we're existing in a life of death, which is of no benefit. It is just ghastly. So what does verse 18 says? Remember, if you want to live, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord, you have an ability, any ability you have is from Him. And what's verses 19 to 20 going to say? It's going to say, don't forget. Don't forget. It says that, doesn't it? Verses 19 to 20. If ever you forget the Lord your God. This is the consequence of forgetting. Okay? So, where have we got to so far? Here's the bad chain of events. Blessing. Yeah? Leads to not being thankful. Leads to us just being, looking to ourselves. And then here. If you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them. Here's the next stage. We start to fill our lives with others. Because when we start to fill our lives with ourselves, we realize we're not satisfied. And we have to fill our lives with other things. And we start to fill them with idols. We start to fill them with stuff that we think will bring us pleasure and fulfillment. And you bow down to them. I testify that today that you will surely be destroyed. So you're just acting like the world around you. Verse 20, you're just acting like the world around you. And so you'll be judged like the world around you. You are saying, God doesn't matter. I'm a self-made person. And you realize when you go for yourself, you've got to bring other stuff into your life. You've got to bring idols into your life. You've got to bring things to set your heart on. And it ends bad. It ends bad. Okay? Very bad. We're filled with... Great Britain, the United Kingdom, is filled with idols. Ram jam packed with idols. Sport. Shopping. Entertainment. All those things can be okay, fine in their place, but when they come, the thing that's going to plug the gap in my life. Bad news. And it ends bad. Verse 20, like the nations, the Lord destroyed before you, so you'll be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Okay? So, Feltham Evangelical Church, be reminded this morning that we must remember God. We must remember the Lord. Remember who He is. Remember what He's done. Remember how He has been so good to us. It is a fact of God's goodness that we are here as a church today. Some however many years before, however many years since, 200 years ago, since some people set a church here from which we are derived. That is God's working. Okay? Remember God's goodness. Okay? Okay. Right. Let's come to conclusion then. I want to present the negative and I want us to be warned this morning. If we get blessing and forget God, we go to ourselves, which leads to idols, which leads to death. Okay? If we get blessing and we remember God, we will go to God and we will live. Really live. Really live. We will live the life which we're called to in Christ and for Christ and by Christ. So go and remember. It's interesting, one of the things that's at the heart of our church life is what? It's what? A remembrance feast. Yeah? The Lord's Supper. What did the Lord Jesus say when he called us to it? He said, do this in remembrance of me. It's there for us. I say to you, you know, fellow believers this morning, if you're ignoring the Lord's Supper, you're ignoring a gift from God for the goodness of your soul. How dare you forsake the Lord's Supper, thinking you're bigger and you can remember on your own when God has given you a remembrance feast and you think it doesn't really matter. Think about it. It's a gift. Remember and live. Remember the Lord and live. Forget the Lord and die. So, finally, progress this morning. Progress. Some of you are new Christians. Some of you young in the faith. Some of you are venturing to new life. I just long for progress. As an eldership of Feltham Evangelical Church, we are bound and longing for progress. People progressing in Christ, for Christ. Go and live. Some of you are going to university. Go and live. Some of you in work, well, go and live wherever you are. Some of us are older, but God's message again to you this morning is go and live. Remember the Lord. You are older, have got a bigger bank of remembrances. Perhaps you might share those with others as well, and they'll be encouraged, even like we will seek tonight to be encouraged. So go and progress. Go and live. Go and remember the Lord. And live. Really live. Let's sing a final hymn. And give praise to our God. Just go to the source of the blessing. And sing about the blessings in Christ.